Hey, Mama. So if you are active on Threads like me, you've most likely seen people posting their tech stack and the business tools they've stopped using and what they replaced them with. Well, I thought it would be fun to share my own tech stack with you guys. I realize I've never done an episode on like what I actually use in my business. And so in this episode, I'm breaking down my small business tools for simplifying and streamlining my business as a busy mama. This will include the tools that I use both for coaching and podcast production. All right, let's jump into today's episode. Hey, mama, are you tired of feeling stressed and overwhelmed trying to grow your online business with your babies at home? You desire more flexibility in your day, allowing you to pour into your family, yourself, and your business without running yourself into the ground. Mama, you can build your dream business and do it in a way that fits your current season of life. And I'm going to show you exactly how. Welcome to the Mama Turned Mompreneur podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Singletary, daughter of the king, wife, mama of two, and life and business coach for mompreneurs. On this podcast, you will learn business strategies made for mamas just like you, who desire to be successful CEOs and fully present mamas without stress or overwhelm. So whether you're an entrepreneur who transitioned to a mompreneur or a mama turned mompreneur, I am here to support you. So grab your coffee, notebook, and pen, put in those earbuds, and let's dig in. All right, let's talk small business tools for simplifying and streamlining your business as a busy mama. So one way to increase your productivity and really start working less in your business is by automating and streamlining all that you can in your business. You know, as a mama, that we need simplicity and we need a way for our businesses to continue to work for us even when we aren't actively, you know, being present or showing up. So this is why inside Life and Seasons one-on-one coaching, one of the core areas that I really like to focus on with my clients is creating systems and processes in their business. We really look at your current systems and tech stack and see how we can better streamline and automate things. So I'm going to be breaking down my small business tools by category. And I broke it down by client management and then marketing slash content creation and then some miscellaneous tools because I didn't quite know how to categorize them. So let's start with my tools for client management. So the first one is Google Workspace. I absolutely love Google Workspace. I know that there's, you know, Microsoft Outlook and I think maybe a couple of other ones, but I feel like Google Workspace gives you the most bang for your buck. Like, I think I pay maybe $24 a month because I do have two emails. So like my hello at mompreneur, and then I have another one. But I love it because I'm able to store pretty much everything I need, so to speak. All my podcast episodes, I have them stored in Google Drive. So like once they're, you know, finalized and all of that. So for my clients, for Google Workspace, each of my one-on-one coaching clients, I create a Google Drive folder for them. And so that is where I upload their, you know, monthly action plans, any templates that I share with them. If there's anything that they want me to give them feedback on, they upload it to their Google Drive folder and it really keeps like everything organized and all of that. I know Google Workspace just added where you can actually schedule appointments. So I'm about to explore that. I mean, I'll probably most likely still utilize Dubsado, which I'll talk about in a little bit, but I thought that was so cool that people can actually book appointments with you via Google Workspace. So haven't had any issues with them. And it's not super expensive or anything like that. It's where I have my domain name for my website. Like everything is through Google. I know for like the domain side of things, Squarespace just bought them, but that's a whole different story. But I absolutely love it. And it's been a great way for me to stay organized. Like I know where everything is. I'm able to create different folders and different things like that. And so I absolutely love Google Workspace. The next thing I use is Dubsado. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with Dubsado. When I first started using Dubsado, it was perfect. I never had any issues. Our customer support was amazing. But then they decided that they wanted to basically have their own payment processor. And ever since they did that update and then it didn't work out, they've just been having issue after issue. It's become like had become very glitchy and stuff. But I will say that they are redeeming themselves. Like they are working out those kinks and stuff. And so I did look at another one. I was going to give Moxie a try, but it didn't have the robustness that I needed. And like that Dubsado has, like Dubsado has so many amazing features. Like one, I love that you can customize everything and make it on brand. That's probably one of my favorite things about it. But also I'm able to like Dubsado is where like client agreements are. It's how I invoice my clients. It's where my clients are able to schedule appointments with me. Literally all of that is housed in Dubsado. And I recently started using the portals. So you can create a client portal in Dubsado. Absolutely love it. One of my clients was asking for copies of her invoices. Now she just has to go log into her portal and she can print out the invoices directly from there. So I will say that Dubsado has redeemed itself. And as I explore it more, I learn more about what it is capable of doing. And so if you want to check out Dubsado, I do have a affiliate code. I believe it either saves you 20% or 30% on either your first month or your first year, like depending on whether you want to do monthly or annually. So I will have that link below in the episode description as well as in the show notes if you want to give Dubsado a try. The next thing is for client communication. I use Voxer and sometimes Telegram. Now, Voxer, I absolutely love Voxer. One, you can pay for the pro, like the pro plan, and I believe it's like $30 for the year. But it is my favorite way to communicate with my clients. So in between our monthly coaching sessions, my clients, my one-on-one coaching clients, they have access to me via Voxer. So during my business hours, they get all the coaching via Voxer. And they love it. I love it too. It's like a walkie-talkie. So if you've never used Voxer before, it is like a walkie-talkie, but it also has like where you can do like the text option too for chatting and whatnot. But I really like it for client communication. It's super easy to use. It's easily accessed on my phone, or you can even pull it up on your computer. But it's how I communicate with my clients. Like it's so nice because I've never really been the type to want to give out my personal phone number. And so I like that Voxer gives them, you know, quick access to me instead of like waiting for me to reply to an email or something like that. So it's a really great way to communicate with clients. Now for Telegram, I have used that for my Get It Done week when I've hosted challenges. And so why I like Telegram for like when it's multiple people, so like when it's a large group, I like Telegram better than Voxer because Telegram, you don't get like, you don't lose where like the last message left off. Like when you go into Telegram, it starts like where the last message that you didn't read, like it starts at that point. So that is one of the things I really liked about Telegram. Voxer doesn't have that function, which is, you know, kind of disappointing, but whatever. Overall, they're both really great for client communication and everything. The next thing is Podia. I don't know if I'm saying this right. I don't know if it's Podia, Podia, whatever. I'm going to go with Podia. But this is where I house like my courses, so to speak. So like for the Get It Done week, the like tutorials and the student portal, it's housed on Podia. I have a few other digital products available on Podia. But I kind of went back and forth between like deciding on Podia. And then I know there's Thrivecart, there's Kajabi, there's all these different ones. But overall, I like Podia the best. It has a lot of great features. I like that, you know, I can give people access for a certain amount of time. It's easy to create coupon codes if I need to do that. It also, it has a lot of other features that I don't even utilize. But like, for instance, you know, if you want to build a website, you can actually do that on Podia. If you want to create a blog, they just recently added that feature too. I have my own website on Showit, which I will get to a little bit later. But I really like them. The only thing I'll say that I don't like about them is that their customer support can be kind of weird. Like, you'll go to message them to like ask a question, and then they'll randomly say that, oh, you know, they're not available right now, even though it's like during their supposed business hours. So that was a little weird, but whatever. I haven't had a like issue where I needed to immediately contact them, or like they didn't, you know, I wasn't able to get access to them when I needed to. But overall, I really like them for, like, again, like, you know, if you're going to do courses or other digital products too. You can even, like, if you want to book coaching sessions, you can do that via Podia. They have like a lot of really great features. The next thing is LastPass. So LastPass is basically a safe way to share passwords. So I personally use it because I cannot remember my passwords for the life of me. And so I have the Google Chrome extension. And so that way, like, my passwords are auto-filled when I'm going to different websites. But it's also been great in like the podcast production side of my business for clients who needed to share their passwords with me. Now, I do have some clients where they'll just give me the password. They're like, I don't care. You can see my password. But for other clients who rather not do that, and we utilize LastPass. And so, again, that Google Chrome extension makes it so that it autofills the login information. I love LastPass for that. And then for my payment processor, I use Stripe. So it does integrate with Dubsado. It also integrates with Podia. It also integrates with ConvertKit, because sometimes I sell stuff via ConvertKit too. Which I'll get to ConvertKit in a little bit. But I, out of all of the payment processors, I haven't had any issues with Stripe whatsoever. PayPal is not geared towards business owners. They, 9 times out of 10, will side with the customer. So I don't even mess with PayPal for that reason. And then also, I know their fees are higher than Stripe's. But I really like Stripe. Like I said, I haven't had any issues with them. I also like that you can basically, like, when a client pays you, you're pretty much, for the most part, you're able to basically have that balance automatically, or like have that balance paid out to you right then and there, instead of having to wait so many days or whatever until it's processed and everything. It just depends on how the client is paying you. So I know if it's like a credit or debit card, you can have it basically paid out to you right then and there. If you're doing like a bank transfer, that takes a little bit longer. So yeah, I really like Stripe for that. And then let's get into my small business tools for marketing/content creation. So I use Canva. I've probably had Canva Pro since I first started my business. And I like being able to create my graphics in there, or anything I need to make in there. And I love that they have the brand kit, that you're able to upload your logos, your fonts, your colors, and easily access it when you're designing something in Canva. I absolutely love that feature. And then I have it set up for other clients who maybe I design something for them. So like one of my podcast production clients, I do create her graphics for promotion, but I have like that easy access there because I can create a brand kit for her too. So I really love that about Canva. And that's what I mostly use it for, is just like graphic creation, whether that's for social media. I also use it to create graphics for my email marketing. So like my headers, like the banners at the top of my emails and stuff. I use it for all of that. And then the next tool is ConvertKit. ConvertKit is my favorite for email marketing. I've tried out MailChimp. I've tried out ActiveCampaign. ActiveCampaign is overly expensive. It's ridiculous. I've also used Meller Lite, which is pretty good. But my favorite is ConvertKit. I feel like ConvertKit is truly built for business owners. Just all of the amazing features it has, even just being able to set up the different automations and being able to segment your list. And you also can sell digital products through ConvertKit. Like, it has so many great features. And I love that it integrates with Podia. So for instance, if somebody purchased something in Podia, I have it set up that they can check whether or not they want to be opted into my email list. And this is more so when I use that function is when I'm part of a bundle and someone signs up for, you know, whatever I am contributing to the bundle. And so in that sense, they know they're going to be added to my email list, you know, for that reason. But for people who are purchasing something, they may not want to be added to my email list. So I do have that set up where they can decide whether or not they want to be added to my email list. I just want to highlight that there because, you know, I don't want to go against anybody's rights or anything like that. But I love that ConvertKit. It integrates with so many different platforms. Like, you can literally go in ConvertKit and it'll show you all the ones that it integrates with. So it is, like I said, it's really great for business owners. They have amazing customer support. I love that you can change the colors of the fonts. You can choose what font. You can do so many different things. You can create landing pages. You can create forms. So like, if you want to have like a pop-up on your website, or maybe you want a form embedded on your website for people to sign up for one of your freebies. It has so many great features that, like I said, it's geared towards business owners. Like, that is the email marketing for business owners. So if you want to try out ConvertKit, I do have an affiliate link for that it will give you 14 days free. So if you want to check it out, explore, see what all it has to offer, that is also linked below in the episode description and in the show notes. Okay, next is Showit. So I use Showit for my website, and it is, in a sense, integrated with WordPress in that it, for my blog, it's a WordPress blog. But I have used probably all of the website builders except for Wix. I've never used that, but I have used Squarespace. I have used WordPress by itself, and I am now using Showit, and I have no plans of ever leaving Showit. What I love about Showit is that it is really easy to use if you are new to web design, if you aren't even a web designer, because it doesn't require any coding, right? And it makes it easy to, like, they have templates that you can use for free, or you can purchase a template, and it's easy to customize, and it has where you can edit the desktop version and the mobile version, so to edit them separately. And it's easy to do. And I love that it is really all about SEO. I kid you not that I feel like my SEO is as good as it is partly because of Showit, because there are so many places for you to incorporate keywords. Like, they have, like, as you're like designing your website, there are places where they'll ask you to put in like certain keywords, different things like that. But it's, like I said, it's really easy to use, and I have no complaints. Like, I think I've had it almost 2 years now. I can't quite remember, but I literally have no complaints when it comes to Showit. Like, I can't think of anything negative about it. But it is honestly my favorite website builder. Again, if you aren't someone who has a web design background, you don't want to deal with any coding, Showit is a great option for you. So if you want to give Showit a try, I do have an affiliate link that is also linked below, and it'll give you a 30-day free trial. Okay, now let's talk about Trello. So Trello is my project management tool that I use. And I've tried Asana, I've tried ClickUp, I've tried Airtable, and I like Trello the best. What I really like about Trello is the little cards, but also you can create checklists, and you get that dopamine hit when you check everything off on that list. Like, it turns green, and it's just, it's like, yes, I completed all of that. But I absolutely love Trello. Like, all of my content creation, from my podcast to my blogs, all of that is done in Trello. It helps me stay organized. It helps me make sure that, like, I'm doing everything I need to do when I'm producing my own podcast. It really keeps me on track. But also, I love that I'm able to easily, like, search in there. Like, if I'm trying to figure out if I've spoken on a specific topic on the podcast before, because I'm, what, 154 episodes in now. It's so I'm able to just search easily to see, like, okay, yeah, I've spoken on that before, or, oh, I've used those keywords before. Let me find a different, you know, set of keywords and different things like that. So it really keeps me organized. So absolutely love Trello, but I know not everybody likes it. But Trello, I'm a Trello girly. Like, I will stand for Trello. I just love the layout and everything about it. Okay. Now I'm going to get into the tools that I use for my podcast. So for recording both solo episodes and interviews, I use Zencastr. Now, I know people for interviews, they'll use Riverside. I just don't like Riverside. I've used it several times as a guest, and it just seems really glitchy to me. I don't like it. So I prefer Zencastr. All of my guests who've used it, like if there was their first time using Zencastr, they're always intrigued by it. They love it. And what I love is that, one, for like interviews, it records separate tracks. But also, if you do the paid version, which I think now they have set it up where they don't have the free option anymore. I can't remember. But it will automatically upload all of the files. So the audio files, if you're recording video, the video files too, it'll automatically upload everything to a Google Drive folder, and it keeps everything organized. I love Zencastr hands down for that very reason. Like I said, I haven't had any issues with it. I've been using it for, I want to say, over a year now. I've been using it for a while now. And I absolutely love it. I record both solo episodes and interviews on here, and it's great. I haven't had any issues with it. For podcast hosting, I am a Captivate girly all day, every day. I'm going to link the episode that I did on choosing a podcast host, because this episode is getting kind of long, and I don't want this to be more than 30 minutes. But Captivate has a lot of great features, and it is really for monetizing your podcast, like the different features they have, it supports with that. When it comes to editing, I use the free software called Audacity. Easy to use. Absolutely love it. I've been using it my entire podcasting journey. So like from the time I became a podcast manager, even with my own podcast, I use Audacity for editing. I also use Auphonic. So if you've ever listened to a podcast episode and you are like, it'll be really loud at one point and then it drops really, really low. Well, to avoid that, you want to use Auphonic. You just run your audio through it. It will level out the audio so that way you're not having that issue. Another tool that I use is Cast Magic. And what I use that for is, one, for one of my podcast production clients, she likes to have a transcript. So I use Cast Magic for that. But what I like about, one, their transcripts are they're usually like pretty spot on with maybe a few edits here and there. The other thing is that it also uses AI. So it'll give you ideas for podcast episode names, and it's pulling directly from your audio. So, you know, it's like coming from like what you spoke about on your podcast, but it'll give you episode ideas or episode name ideas. It'll also create a episode description for you. It'll give you social media content ideas. It'll give you blog ideas, email newsletter ideas. It'll pull out the main points from the episode. It'll give you a episode timestamp. Like, it gives you so much. And so, yes, I love Cast Magic, and I use it for that reason. And then for managing my guests, I use Dubsado. So I have a workflow set up, and just about all of my guests like have said that they love my podcast guest workflow. It's all automated. I actually just updated it because I'm changing how I do podcast guesting now. I'm no longer having it where on my website where people can just apply whenever they want. We're going to have a conversation first, and it's more so me inviting you to be a guest on my podcast. Or if you pitch me and I'm really feeling your pitch, it's you. Basically, you don't have to apply. You just fill out the intake form and it goes from there. But the whole process is like they fill out the intake form. Once that's completed, they're sent the guest release form. Once that's completed, they're sent the scheduler to, you know, schedule their interview. And then after their interview, they, like an hour after their interview, they receive a thank you email. And that's pretty much it. And so all of that is actually automated. So I do that in Dubsado. Okay, now my two miscellaneous tools. Like I said, I didn't know exactly where to put these, but the first one is Grammarly. I have the, I think it's the Google Chrome extension. I have that on my computer because even though, you know, I have a master's degree and everything like that, my grammar is not always 100%. So I like having Grammarly there to like catch those typos or those grammar mistakes and different things like that. So that's what it does it for my emails. When I'm, you know, putting something in a Google Doc, anywhere I'm typing something, it'll pop up, you know, alert me if I am making a mistake. And then the last thing, this is more so like bookkeeping, but I use Wave Accounting. Now, eventually I am going to switch over to QuickBooks, but right now where I'm at in business, Wave is serving the purpose that I need it to do. It's working well for me and my tax person. And my tax person, she was actually the one who recommended it to me, and it's been working for me. But eventually I am going to move over to QuickBooks. Okay, this went a lot longer than I anticipated, but that is my tech stack. I know it sounds like a lot, but honestly, so many of these things integrate together and work seamlessly together that it's not a lot. And because I've set everything up, it's not me constantly doing all these different things. So I would love to know, do you use any of the same tools as me? You know, or what tools are you using instead? I love to hear what people are using to run their businesses, especially as busy mamas. So send me a DM over on Instagram letting me know. I want to know what your tech stack is. All right, mama, I'll catch you in the next episode. Well, mama, that's a wrap on today's episode. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to hang with me. If you enjoyed today's episode, will you do me a favor and follow the podcast and leave a review? Hitting that follow button and sharing your thoughts about the podcast are the best ways to ensure that other mamas like you find this show. Your review also lets me know if you're enjoying this podcast, so make sure to share your thoughts before you go. All right, mama, I'll catch you in the next episode.